Let me guess. You've downloaded this podcast because you like two things: free content and supporting local businesses. What's better than a free show like this? A podcast that helps you save money. And that part is thanks to our local loan originator, who is also nationally recognized. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation is who you need to call if you're looking to buy or refinance. 2 years ago, I did a refi, ended up saving hundreds. And guess what? Interest rates are still low. Why not just call Ashley and get a quote? See for yourself. And as a thank you from us for supporting an amazing partner, if you get a quote from Ashley and mention the Triad Podcast Network, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card of your choice. So trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience where personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, Equal Housing Opportunity.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode on the Triad Podcast Network. It's presented by our friends at the Ginther Group, and it's time for our real estate conversation with our expert, our friend Blake Ginther. And hey, before we jump into real estate, Blake, first of all, we do this community spotlight with you guys every month, and we did a recent episode about college planning, family college planning, and we'll have more and more of those coming. But I love talking about things that you and your team do out in the community. You know, there's so many things that people can do around the fall, right? And by the time people listen to this, we might be past this event, this farm festival that you guys are a big part of every year. So if people have the chance to listen before the festival, maybe tell them about what's going on there. And if they're listening after it's over, I just love to hear you guys talk about why that's such a big deal for you guys. Cause man, it's a lot of fun. We went last year. It really is a lot of fun.
Well, it's funny. I mean, so, and you don't know this. I'm going to share something while we're recording that you don't know yet, that we hired a full-time
employee. I need my breaking news alert or sounder.
That's ESPN, but yeah. We hired a full-time employee to help us with our, essentially our client and community outreach and events, because it's important to us, right? Mm-hmm. And being a big contributing partner in the community. And I know you feel the same way. That's why you do this, right? And so, this event is a really cool spot. There's this little farm right by downtown Kernersville. So when I say Kernersville, some people are like, Kernersville, that's so far away. It's like, literally 3 minutes from the main street exit on Kernersville. Mm-hmm. But it's tucked back in the middle of like the woods and nowhere. It's awesome. And there's hay rides and pumpkin patches and games and typical kind of fall food options. A lot of animals, horseback riding. There's a cow that thinks it's a dog that will literally lick you. Be careful. that event is next weekend, the 23rd.
Yep. Smith Hollow Farm is the name of the farm, by the way. Yep.
Smith Hollow Farm. Come see us. If you don't have time to RSVP, come see us. Don't not come. Come and then just register at our tent that we have up there and let them know that you're with the Ginther Group. So that's something we do. We're going to do. If you can't come to that, don't worry. We'll do other. Our next event will be held at a local establishment where we do Santa picks,
mm-hmm.
Or other holiday that you celebrate picks with a professional photographer in early December.
But that's the cool thing is that the Ginther Group, when a lot of times, look, there's marketing to try to drive business, but then there's also investing in the community. And we are so grateful that you guys invest in what we do because of what our mission is to bring local content and information to people. But, you guys are involved with this. It's called Fall on the Farm at Smith Hollow Farm. But you do that, and your
investment, your involvement helps them to put this on every year. And it's so much fun for so many families in this community. So it's a really cool thing. I wanted to start with that because we had so much fun going to that for the first time last year. Cause it's not just a pumpkin patch. It's so much more. There's so many activities for families to be able to do.
Cool. We 100% agree. It's a lot. It's my favorite event that we throw. We throw a bunch only because there's so many things.
Yeah.
Usually when we throw an event, there's one or two. There's a dozen, right, or more to do out there. And that, I think that's cool. And you're right. And it does help them. We started doing this, gosh, I think it's maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And then like very small event, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's gotten bigger and bigger, and it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of people go, lots of kids, really, really good time. So anyway, that's on the 23rd. Hopefully most of you that are listening to this, you still have time to make plans for Saturday, October 23rd at Smith Hollow Farm in Kernersville. All right, my brand, let's jump into some real estate. That's what people download this episode to hear because maybe they're thinking about it. They're in the market. They want to learn something. We got some ground we want to cover today. Let's start with this. Let's start with current market conditions and then specifically something that I've at least noticed, because I get notifications from Zillow in terms of this home's on the market, this home had a price change. I've been getting more and more of these notifications about price drops from Zillow in my email inbox. Is that a trend that you're seeing? What's going on there? Or is that just, you know, coincidence that I'm just getting that for various homes that I use in my filters?
Well, so if you've listened to this before, you guys know that I overuse and you don't want to hear me say inventory anymore. so inventory has stayed the same since our last podcast. So that hasn't really changed, interestingly enough. What is a reality, and what, to your point, Adam, prices, we have started to see price drops. And so you go, okay, if the inventory is staying the same, and by the way, more houses are coming on and the same amount are going off. So if the inventory is staying the same, how come we're seeing price drops? And it's really because I think the softening and this the softening combined with, I hate to say the word because it's a harsh word, but greed or overpricing, frankly, is a thing. And I think that, and I don't blame you. You don't really, nobody's to blame. Frankly, if anyone's to blame, I honestly think it's some sellers going, hey, you know, even though I could have only gotten, you know, 400 last year, before the pandemic, I can get 500 now, let's do it. And when reality, and maybe they could have in the spring when I think we can safely say at this point we peaked in the spring. And not to say we might not peak again next spring, but I think that if inventories are the same and prices are kind of coming back to earth, it's mostly because of overpricing. And there's a lot of new agents, and I'm not knocking realtors, but there's a lot of agents who are newer to the industry and only knew that uprising market and don't understand, and maybe are just, I've got sellers who I send an email to with pricing, and you know me, we've talked about it before. I give a range of correctness, mm-hmm. and they want to go 20-25% over the top of my range of correctness.
Mm-hmm. Cause they think that's what the market will bring just because of where we are. But, you know, I think regardless, so what you're saying is when you see price drops, it's not an indication of the health of the market or whether it's leaning toward buyer or seller. In most cases, it's a product of not pricing correctly.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I just rambled for 5 minutes and you succinctly put it in 20 seconds. Yes. And I want to say too, in case those sellers that are going to be listing here soon hear this and go, you know, in their defense, it's really not them being greedy, it's them looking around and seeing all of these other houses mm-hmm. that they feel they're comparable with coming out at a ridiculously high price. And I think that's really the challenge is when you look around as a seller and you go, huh, well, that I'm pretty comparable to that. And they're 50,000 over where you think I can't, yeah. you know. And so I get it, but But what's happening is they're wrong, right? Those people who are pricing that high are wrong and they're having to drop.
Yeah. Yeah. Because so let's say you have two homes that are similar. Both are, you know, probably appraise at 300,000. Let's just say, just making up a number. They both would appraise at 300,000. One person sells their home for 320. That doesn't necessarily mean the other $300,000 house should list at 320, right? Because the driving factor, correct me if I'm wrong, but the driving factor in your list price should be to get multiple offers and competition. That will drive up the price.
100%. That's correct. And I think that if people took that approach and understood that they're not going to get less than what the market is going to, this current market is going to bring, then they'll win. But I think it's still the old school. Well, there's only, you know, if I got a nickel, dude, every time a buyer said, well, I can always come up, and a seller said, well, I can always go down, right? And their reasoning for pricing or offering the way they're offering. And that was the old school way of doing it. That's just not how it should be done, how it's been done or should be done now. If I give you a range of correctness, I understand wanting to go toward the top of it, but understand that as was the case with you, I give you a range of correctness and we went above that, and that can still happen. But if you start above that, which is what's happened, you're going to see price drop.
How does that impact the way a potential buyer views a home? If they see that the price has dropped recently, what kind of impact does that have on the way that potential buyers see that home? With their perspective of it, how do they view it?
Well, that's the conversation I'm having with these sellers who've now dropped a couple times, and they've gotten two really bad offers. And
after the price drop, or
yes. One came after the first price drop and just got another really low offer after the second price drop. And they went, is this what we're going to expect? And typically, no. I mean, honestly, price drops in our current market just get people see the market and the market dictates your price and your value. And so people typically, when I was seeing even one or two price drops, you can still get at or above that new price if people view you correctly. So I think, you know, to answer your question, I think that it might be different in our current market because there just weren't that many price drops. So people definitely, maybe more than ever, might go, huh, what's wrong with this house? Whereas before, and when the market was just piping hot, you could still price drop and it wouldn't matter because frankly, the inventory was so low.
Yeah.
You didn't question it.
Yeah, I just and this is just a total guess because I'm not as plugged in as you or your team are, but I would think that some people might see a price drop as an opportunity as a buyer, because a price drop means that, like you said, maybe there's something wrong with the home, maybe the sellers are getting desperate and they see an opportunity to be able to get a discount.
Well, and to that point, the fall is the opportunistic market. Right. Fall brings, you know, I'm glad the way our market works. I'm sure in other parts of the country, this isn't the case, but in our market, realtors work their tushies off, right? Spring, really winter through spring into the summer. And then typically we soften a little bit late summer, picks back up again, you know, mid fall. Some years it finishes strong, some years it doesn't. That's just pretty common in our market. Mm-hmm. And I'm always laughing because usually I'm like, okay, well, we've had a good year come fall. I'm all right with it being a little slower. The hard part is it brings a lot of tire kickers and a lot of like want to buy, but not need to buy buyers. And same with sellers, a lot of like want to sell, but don't need to sell sellers. So it brings a lot of like wishy-washy, lower offers, overpriced homes because they don't need to sell. You know what I mean? It's very common in our market for that to be the case. And that's very true, I think, in our current market.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to have to add the explicit moniker to the show because you used the word tushy. So thank you for that.
I did. I did use tushy. I was thinking several other words, but
you have to bleep it out.
Yep. My bad. Yep.
All right. Let's talk about a couple other things that are out there. I know that something that you wanted to get into was, you know, we've talked about new construction quite a bit and how that is playing how that's making an impact on the market because new construction is slowed because of prices of products and supplies. And, you know, how is that impacting things currently?
I mean, we're still, you know, we're still locally very far behind. I mean, countrywide, we're way behind and it is still, and prices, man, it's the pricing of new construction that those houses that are being built are still getting 20-30% more than what they were getting pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And some of their costs have come down a little bit, back to earth a little bit for the builders. So they're finally, you know, but they did lose when costs went up, they weren't able to recoup it as much. So I'm not like saying, you know, how dare those greedy builders. But the reality is, when are prices going to go back down? And I don't, in new construction, because they're so underserved, not anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Right. And we are, I mean, you look at most of the neighborhoods being built, a lot of them are that, I don't know what's the right way to put it, but the national builders, I'm going to use that phrase, the national builders that were building in the like mid ones to mid threes. And now you can't find it for anything less than mid twos and like up to fives. Right. And these are the national guys, not the custom all brick typical product that you're used to seeing the custom homes in certain neighborhoods. And if those homes are getting that, well, then the custom guys are like, well, sweet. My 400 to 600 product just became 500 to 800.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about vendors and how that could impact not just cost, but timing of doing a lot of this stuff? This didn't have anything to do with us trying to sell our house, but you recommended a company to help fix a garage door issue that we were having. Yeah. We have to replace the door, unfortunately, but you know, they're working 6 to 8 weeks out. And a lot of vendors are doing that. And so, you know, as it relates to real estate or just, you know, around the house type things, not just the price, but the timing of all of this right now.
Yeah. I do think that the world has gotten, or if you haven't, then you're going to go insane. Patience. I mean, it's Adam. I mean, America, we don't have a lot of patience in a lot of things. You know, we expect for it to be delivered immediately, right? And you know, Amazon has spoiled us, and these companies are behind. I mean, labor's behind. Companies are understaffed. You go out to eat, they tell you it's on every door, right? It's going to be please be patient.
Yeah.
And it's the same with anything in your home. Yeah. Not only are costs, is it going to be cost, but to your point, the timeline that was is not currently.
Yeah. Yeah. How about interest rates? We've mentioned this on a lot of our shows that interest rates are low. They're going to be going back up. They still are, and they still will. But, you know, we just released an episode today, the day that we're recording this show, with our certified financial planner, Jennifer Johnson, talking about the national debt ceiling and the current debate that's going on and how that could impact an individual's life. And interest rates is one of them. You know, what are you seeing from your perspective on how things could be moving with interest rates and what buyers or sellers should be thinking about related to it?
I think the interest rates, we've been saying it for a while, they have to go up. And for those of people go, why do they have to go up? They have to go up because, you know, in our lifetime, Adam, and probably in our children's lifetime and probably in our children's lifetime, the debt ain't going away. Right. Regardless of whoever's in office,
we're never paying that off.
that it's just, it's never going away.
Right.
But it can't, you know, but I think they want to be able to see it go up slower. And for it to go up slower, they need to be able to make money, right? The government can't make money on the money at this current
low interest rates.
Right. Right. Yeah. We have to see it for a healthy climate. It needs to be, in a perfect world, it'd be 5%. You know, some say, you know, upper fours, some say upper fives, whatever, somewhere in the low fives. We're not going to get back there anytime soon. We're going to probably see a quarter percentage go up every quarter. And there might be a half a percentage trump up like there was a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, and people freak out, right? Prime goes from 3.25 to 3.75. And people are like, whoa, God, you know, and then it will dip back again. But overall, we hopefully will see about a quarter over a quarter uptick. So by next spring, you know, heaven forbid, everybody holds still. You ready for this? It might be closer to upper threes instead of the upper twos to low threes.
Yeah, which is still really low.
It's still too low, right? And everybody should refinance, and everybody should. That's why, honestly, realtors are so busy, and why we should be. Because if you're renting, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
now's the time to get in.
Yeah, and people go, well, yeah, but the prices. Do you hear us saying the prices probably aren't really changing anytime soon? I mean, inventory, it's not going to change anytime soon, but interest rates will go up slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's a fascinating time, man. It always is. By the way, make sure you check out Blake and our other partners, Ashley McKenzie Sharp from Fairway Independent Mortgage on an incredible spread in Forsyth Family, right?
Oh my gosh, how many texts have I gotten about Ashley and myself are on a bike? We're on bikes.
How awkward was the photo shoot? Just like doing all these different poses and things.
I'm going to tell you, it was long, first of all. I got there, I was like, I got like 30, 45 minutes. Is that enough? He was like, oh no, no, it's good. I'm going to need three times that. I'm like, wait, what? And we shot a bunch of different angles. We shot all over the place, and it's a cool spread. And by the way, the photographer was amazing. He's an artiste, and mm-hmm. he made us look, you know, better than we are, and awkward on bikes. I mean, like, we're literally on bikes. And I've gotten a lot of fun has been made.
Well, tell us before we wrap up here. Tell us what was the concept in terms of, you know, why they wanted to feature the two of you.
So Forsyth Family, right? Move in the triad. And they wanted to talk about, I mean, when we've done it on podcasts, for Forsyth Family, they have a podcast as well. And by the way, I think I plugged you on that podcast, just saying.
Attaboy.
But you know, they definitely wanted to talk about a loan officer and a realtor and the market in general, a lot of what we discussed and how it pertains to Forsyth County and people moving here from all over. And fortunately, we are in a growing place.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, check it out. Pick up a copy of Forsyth Family. Check out Blake looking just dapper. And man, we love Ashley as well. She's a huge supporter of what we do. She's great. If you want to go and talk and have that financial conversation, interest rates and loans, and that's the first person that we would send you to have that conversation. So, all right, man. Well, great stuff as always. Let's close out the way we normally do and let the folks know how to find you.
So online at theginthergroup.com. www.theginthergroup.com or give us a shout at 283-8689, 336-283-8689. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, man. And we'll see you on the 23rd at Smith Hollow Farm.
Bring it on.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.